And that leads me to my very last point, and that is the high standards actually lead to confidence by investors. And if investors have confidence, they will invest in the countries, both through FDI and direct investments.
Thank you for outlining the work of the FLC. Maybe we can just drag it. But it's Europe reforming issue, which so from the point of view of the, we've heard from Sharon about the regulatory structure, the setting up of ESMA and various groups. What's your assessment as a shrewd industry observer? How good a job they've done in terms of stabilising European finance and creating the conditions by which you can help Europe grow?
Let me talk about government first. And government, I think they have done quite a lot. I mean, I think it's a huge step to go to go over partly, at least, to principle-based regulation, comply or explain, underpinned, obviously, by a very strong regulatory regime is very positive. On the financial side, what has been done, I think, is very positive. I happen to think that banking union is positive for Europe. The United Kingdom is not going to be part of it because it's not part of the single currency, but I think what the ECB is doing and the various mechanisms, resolution mechanisms and so on that are being worked on, I think are positive. I think there's still obviously something to be done in relation to having a backstop of a fund, of deposit protection fund, but I think that's being worked on too, and Sharon has mentioned some of the aspects in relation to that. So yes, I think reform has taken place. This reform is never ending, of course.
Yannis, I think you're a bit more sceptical about what the European Union has done in terms of creating the right architecture.
Well, so Winfred is in a very pleasant position of looking from the outside into the banking union and keeping his tail out of it. Those of us who are in it know that things are much less pleasant than they seem. But let me focus my remarks on the general perception, which is quite dominant in Europe, unfortunately, these days, that Europe is a kind of laggard that gets there in the end. That Europe moves from crisis to crisis, but in the end, we're doing the right thing. However frustrating this slowly, we are implementing the right reforms and we're moving along the right path. My point is quite obvious. It would be, as I said, I'll be the skeptic in the room, that instead of moving slowly in the right direction, we're moving quite fast in the wrong direction. And let me give you just four quick examples. I shall begin with banking. We need it, the banking union desperately, if only in order to disentangle this death embrace between fragile banks and fragile states.
Yeah.
We did exactly the opposite. We have strengthened that embrace if you look at the details of our banking union, which, by the way, has been confirmed in the bridge, not in the observance. The lack of a backstop, of a genuine backstop, the complete lack of deposit insurance, is creating circumstances that are compromising the European Central Bank in a unique and newfound way. Think about it. Suppose that you are the single supervisor, ECB, and you look inside the asset books of a large Spanish Italian bank, and you find a big black hole that was not there supposedly. You're putting the impossible dilemma of having to choose between kickstarting another round of financial turmoil by telling the truth, or keeping mum, keeping silent, and compromising the ECB's seal of improvement, of approval of dodgy asset books and dodgy practices, I must say. And coming from Southern Europe, I can tell you that we are building new kleptocracies based on the supposed reforms and on the bailout money, but that's not nice. So just like, as we know, a little bit of knowledge can be a bad thing, a half-hearted reform which gives the ECB attitude the right to be the citizen supervisor. But does not create the backstop and the deposit insurance that the Europeanized banks can be a very bad thing. Another example is the European Stability Mechanism, which is supposedly there in order to create a levy that prevents the domino effect when a public debt crisis begins. Now, we know that this is a much unloved institution, particularly by those who created it in the haste of the crisis. It was created not to be used, and already being mothballed at the moment of its creation. Why is this? There's a good reason for the fact that the European Stability Mechanism is unloved. It is because it is architecturally designed. If you look at the structure of the bonds that it issues, they contain within them the domino effect. The marginal state that drops out becomes a weight on the next marginal state. This is how you design a stability mechanism if your purpose is to reinforce instability. The third example which I shall give is the great success story, the OMT, that has stabilized financial markets and has pushed and that's a good thing, yields for the Eurozone member states to unprecedented levels. I believe that Ireland now is paying less than the United Kingdom, which shows how preposterous the situation is. But nevertheless, it is a great success story, which is, however, founded on an incredible threat. Now, this is something that financial historians will have to look into. How is it that a non-credible threat, the threat issued by Mr. Draghi and the ECB, that he will do whatever he takes, he will print as much money as he needs in order to buy in the secondary market short-term bonds of Italy and Spain, when we know that he cannot do that because we already have, the only way that Germany has accepted that proposition is because it was promised that it would never be enacted, and it hasn't been enacted. How long can this last, and how significant and substantial and profitable is a reform which is based on a promise that one can never deliver if called upon to do so? Labor market reforms, I haven't seen any. I have seen a complete collapse of labor and wage labor in the periphery. So no labor market reform that makes sense and which can be sustainable once the recovery comes back, either in Greece or in Germany for that matter. So just to conclude, we need to reform. Unfortunately, following the mother of all shocks, the euro crisis, Europe has responded to the fragmentation which led to its incapacity to absorb shocks by institutionalizing the fragmentation. We have before in the previous panel about the balkanization of the banking sector. I spoke about the reinforcement of the debt embrace between fragile states and fragile banks. All this, in my mind, means one thing. Europe remains in denial. And as long as you and I accept the exaggerated rumor, put it mildly, that the euro crisis is over, this denial is reinforced and produces policies and reforms that are forcing Europe in the wrong direction at the very beginning and meet the conclusion that Europe is not forming, it is deforming.
Turkey isn't in the EU or the Euro, and perhaps you're feeling rather grateful